37. Stafford going deep, and Durham has it! Chris Durham! And here is Stafford's pass, and Calvin Johnson stopped at the one-yard line. The Detroit Lions, no timeouts left. Time is running. They're at the one, and Stafford says, come on in. Reaches over. Touchdown!
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. Wow. Yes, the Detroit Lions, they pulled out a win to, it was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. You had to be on the edge of your seats that entire game. That final minute was certainly, my heart was racing. I don't know about yours. But anyway, good afternoon, ladies and gents. It's time to get back on the grind on this Monday, October 28th, 2013. Hope you all had one fantastic weekend. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. How about the Detroit Lions again? Unbelievable win yesterday against the Dallas Cowboys and the Michigan State football team. MSU didn't even make it close against the Fighting Illini, where the Lions got their win over the Cowboys in, you know, much closer fashion, to say the least. Now, we are going to dive into both of those games in just a sec. And today's current sports question of the day, is it ever okay for an athlete to blow up on his or her teammates? Yes, the reason we bring up this question has to do with the crazy sideline rant that Dallas Cowboy receiver Dez Bryant had yesterday. What are your thoughts on it? 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. You can also comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet me at AlMartinWKR and even shoot me an email at AlMartinWKR.org. So I will be reading your comments on this discussion not too long from now. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And don't forget about Current Sports TV, folks. Be a part of the audience this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. as Matthew Brown will be my guest. He is an organizational head coach of the Lansing Cowboys. They are a youth football league for kids ages 7 to 15. Matt is no stranger to Current Sports. He was actually on the show this past summer. Such an inspirational guy. Now, Brown will talk with me about the unique program where participation is free. That's right, absolutely free for those who make the team. And about safety in the sport. Be a part of the live studio audience by signing up for free at WKAR.org. Now, we tape on Wednesday right here at WKAR Studios on MSU's campus at 6 p.m. Go to WKAR.org to sign up and be a part of it. I want to see your smiling faces on Wednesday night, all right? Okay, let's get to your current sports headlines on this October 28th, 2013. Well, as we played at the top of the hour, the Detroit Lions. Yes, they topped the Dallas Cowboys in one nail-biting down to the wire game yesterday, 31-30, your final. Now, Calvin Megatron Johnson, he is unbelievable. He's not from Earth. He's not from Pluto. I don't know where the man is from. He's a straight-up alien. He is unbelievable. 329 yards receiving. Can you believe that? 329 yards receiving. Johnson's total trails only 336 yards receiving from Flipper Anderson. That's when Flipper played for the Los Angeles Rams against New Orleans on November 26, 1989, a game that went into overtime. This wasn't even overtime, folks. This is a regular season football game. Calvin Megatron Johnson with 329 yards. That's sick with it. All right, the Lions, who are now 5-3, they overcame, get this, 4 turnovers without forcing one turnover the entire game, becoming the first team to do that and win since New England did it against Miami in 2007. Now, Dallas is now 4-4. They seem to set itself up with a win, to win 3 straight for the first time this year and build a bigger lead atop that terrible NFC East. When Tony Romo, because this is the moment when I said, okay, this game is over, Lions, well, they'll enter the bye week with a loss. When Tony Romo threw his second touchdown and third of the game to Dez Bryant with 6:45 left to take a 27-17 lead. Now, on the Lions' last drive, Matthew Stafford threw a 22-yard pass to Calvin to set up the winning score the quarterback caught at least some of the Cowboys by surprise, including linebacker Sean Lee, who appeared to expect him to spike the ball to stop the clock. Defensive tackle Jason Hatcher said afterwards that, quote, "he caught us off guard," end quote. Hats off to Matthew Stafford, because in that moment, when you think the Lions, the clock is running, the Lions need a touchdown to win the game. And you see Matthew Stafford run to the line. He's looking at all of his teammates saying, "Hey, get it." He's doing the spike motion. Then all of a sudden he goes to the line, surprises everyone, including his teammates, a complete heads up play by him. And he jumps over and breaks the plane with a touchdown. Unbelievable moment. Such a heads up quarterback leadership type of play. Matthew Stafford, hats off to you, man. All right, Stafford was 33 of 48 for 488 yards, his second highest total, with a two-yard TD pass to Johnson in the first quarter, and he had two interceptions, however. But Reggie Bush, also want to note that Reggie Bush had 92 yards rushing and a score. Tony Romo was 14 of 30, failing to complete half of his passes for the first time since 2009 for 206 yards without a turnover. Again, the Lions, a nail-biting 31-30 win. We're going to dive more into this game. We're also going to dive into the Dez Bryant rant. For those of you who don't know, Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant described his passion as, quote, "all positive," end quote, after two sideline confrontations with teammates during Sunday's 31-30 loss. Now, Bryant yelled at quarterback Tony Romo after a third down incompletion intended for Dwayne Harris late in the third quarter, a possession that ended with the Cowboys kicking a field goal to push their lead to 13-7. Now, Bryant also had a shouting match with tight end Jason Witten. Yes, after a Lions go-ahead touchdown with 12 seconds remaining, an exchange that was heated enough to prompt an inactive defensive end, DeMarcus Ware, to step in and separate the two. I don't know if you guys saw that, but the cameras got a great shot of that. Dez Bryant going off, having to be held by his jersey by DeMarcus Ware. Bryant said afterwards that, quote, "my passion is always positive. It's always positive. It's going to remain the same way. I'm not saying anything wrong. I'm not saying anything bad. It's all positive. That's just what it is. I'm the nicest person off the field. When I'm on the field, even when I look angry, it's all good passion. It's all good passion. I feel like that's what we need. I'm going to remain the same way. I feel like I love this game. I love it. In order to win, you've got to be passionate about this game. You have to be. You've got to let that dog come out and just put it all out there on the line." Now, Bryant had three catches for 72 yards and two touchdowns on six targets in the loss. Bryant offered no apologies for his animated antics, saying his intense passion is critical, a critical ingredient, I should say, to giving the Cowboys the best chance to win. Now, he said he isn't concerned if the sideline outbursts look bad to outsiders. So, yeah, you know, to each his own, you know, when you look at this whole Bryant rant. We're going to dive into that discussion as well, and we're going to take your calls throughout this entire show on whether or not it's okay, ever okay, for a teammate to blow up on his teammates. I believe we have a call right now. I believe Mike from Saginaw. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, thank you. I used to call a lot when Earl was on the radio there, but I see Earl moved on, so I thought I'd just call, comment on it.
Yeah.
I know Tom Brady has blowed up on people, too. And what I see from Dez Bryant was he was just frustrated because I think the Cowboys was losing the game, and he didn't want to seem like his prediction that he was almost equal as Calvin Johnson was. He just didn't want to probably be able to answer those kind of questions and deal with that issue because Calvin Johnson really outperformed everybody yesterday. I just did.
Yeah, right. I totally agree with you, Mike. Now, Mike, I got to ask you because, you know, a lot of people, I've been listening to the radio all this morning, you know, reports about it, you know, looking at that whole situation with Dez. Is it okay for a player to ever do that with the cameras rolling in front of everyone?
You know what? The frustrating thing about it is, the cameras was always looking at the coaches on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, years ago, that wouldn't even be happening because they'll focus more on the field. But it's just like, I don't know if it's part of the programming, whatever the producer and the cameras do, but they paying more and more attention to the sidelines than sometimes I think they pay more attention to the game on the field. Because right. the game on the field is very good. I say, man, you know, it's just a non-issue because
right.
I believe that teammates get frustrated and they get angry at each other sometimes. It's just out there in front of the cameras. If he would have did it in the locker room, nobody wouldn't even make that much about it. So that's
right.
my opinion.
I totally agree. Hey, thanks a lot, Mike, for the call. Appreciate it. Yes, and you know what, ladies and gents, I have to agree with Mike, you know, with just about every point he made. And I'm going to debate this. I'm going to bring in Matt, and we're going to bring in Alex to talk about Dez Bryant's outburst, because I have an interesting take on it myself when I saw it. At first, you know, I reacted out of impulse saying, oh, man, that's not cool. But then I had to roll back and turn back the discussion and turn back the tides when I look at this, because I was once an athlete, and to be honest with you guys, I was that guy. I was definitely that guy to blow up and get in your face. I'll tell you a story about my freshman year of college in just a sec. But let me finish up with the headlines. Again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show on this whole Dez Bryant blow up type of situation. Is it ever okay for a teammate for an athlete to blow up on his or her teammates? Again, give us a call, 517-355-9527. You heard Mike's take on it. Thanks a lot for the call, Mike. Again, that's 517-355-9527. All right, let's finish up your headlines and get back to the Lions. Since the Lions wide receiver Nate Burleson broke his left forearm in a car accident while reaching to save a falling pizza box last month, he is often joked about turning it into a way of sort of becoming a spokesman. Well, something better happened, folks. Free pizza. Can you believe this? Burleson tweeted and put on Instagram on Sunday that he was sent a year's supply of coupons for DiGiorno pizza. Can you believe that? DiGiorno's giving him free pizza for a year. Huge shout out. This is what he said in his tweet. Huge shout out to DiGiorno Pizza for the year's supply of free pizza and the gifts. And is on his Instagram account, you can see like coupons everywhere. It's really, really cool. But yeah, as a part of the Instagram picture, he tweeted out part of the letter sent to him by DiGiorno saying, quote, "Hello, Nate. We hope you are feeling better after your recent car accident and are on the road to recovery. DiGiorno Pizza understands the challenges that come with carryout and delivery pizza, so we are sending you a gift along with a year's supply of DiGiorno Pizza so you can skip carryout." How about that? Now, Burleson is also coming closer to actually playing again. He said last week he was lifting weights and being fitted for his game day brace on the forearm. Now, the 5-3 Lions have an off week and will play at Chicago on November 10th. Pretty cool story there. All right, World Series. In a wild World Series that seems destined to go 7 games, it's like a boxing match right now, folks. The Boston Red Sox used Johnny Gomes' huge three-run homer in the 6th inning to tie the series at 2. Now, a night after an obstruction call decided Game 3 in the Cardinals' favor, the Sox got a good effort from Clay Buchholz and another strong performance from their bullpen to even the series and guarantee it'll end at Fenway Park. Now, Gomes, who wasn't even in the original lineup, filled in for an ailing Shane Victorino and promptly had his best moment of the season, cracking the homer off of Cardinals reliever Seth Maines. Now, David Ortiz, Big Poppy, batting a scorching 72. Yes, 727. Can you believe that? 727 for David Ortiz this series. He went 3-for-3 with a walk. Unbelievable, man. Now, ending in a fashion typical of the series, Koji Uehara, picked off Cardinals rookie pinch runner Colton Wong to record the final out. Now, Game 5 is tonight in St. Louis, pinning Sox ace John Lester versus Cardinal playoff hero Adam Wainwright. So definitely tune in to that one. It's certainly a boxing match, folks. If you look at it, the series is tied at 2 games apiece. So, all right, Cabrera. Tiger slugger Miguel Cabrera is set to have surgery on Tuesday to repair his injured groin. Cabrera struggled with a nagging injury through the tail end of the season in playoffs and his limited effectiveness throughout the playoff run. He went on to say, well, this is Cabrera told ESPN Deportes that, quote, "Those are decisions you have to make sometimes. If not, it affects your future." He goes on to say, "If not, it could hurt your career, and that's what I based my decision on. I consulted with the team and made the decision personally so I could keep playing with the team." Now, Cabrera figures to be back at full strength next year. All right, MSU and the Illini. So much for accuracy problems. A week after struggling to complete passes against Purdue, Connor Cook went 15-for-16. Yes, a complete display of accuracy, folks. 15 for 16 for 208 yards and 3 touchdowns as the Spartans rolled Illinois 42-3 in Champaign. Now, after a lucky touchdown pass to Benny Fowler, which was the pure definition of luck, that made it 14-3 at the half. The Spartans took complete control and cruised through the second, running the ball effectively against a struggling Illini front. Now, Jeremy Langford, yes, he finished with 104 yards and 2 TDs. Delton Williams had 78 yards and a score on just 5 carries. And Nick Hill also got in the game and added 70 yards in the fourth quarter. Now, the Spartan defense was surrendered an early field goal, tightened up as the game progressed, including a goal line stand in the second quarter that proved vital. Now, after their most complete effort of the season, the Spartans prepare for arch rival. Yes, it's Michigan week, folks. Michigan. The Michigan Wolverines take a visit to Spartan Stadium this Saturday. Oh, man, here we go. All right. MSU and Indiana football. For the first time since 2010, the Indiana Hoosiers volleyball team knocked off the number 10 Michigan State Spartans on Saturday in 5 sets. It was the first win in conference play this year for the Hoosiers, who improved to 9-12 and 1-9 in the Big Ten. Now, Michigan State was led by senior Lauren Wazinski, who had 16 kills and 8 digs. Junior Corey Meister had a team-high 19 digs, and senior Kristen Kelsey led the Spartans in assists with 27. Now, with the win, IU broke its 11-match losing streak and gives the team a good place to start heading into the second half of Big Ten play. All right, Gordon wins. That's right. Matt Kenseth did the unthinkable Sunday, beating Jimmy Johnson on his best track during a fierce battle for the Sprint Cup Championship, but he couldn't hold off Johnson teammate Jeff Gordon, who passed Kenseth for the lead with 21 laps remaining and held on for its first win of the season. Now, Brad Keselowski, the Michigan native, he finished third, followed by Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. Now, by beating Johnson by 3 spots and leading most laps, Kenseth is now tied with Johnson for the most points lead, for the points lead, excuse me. Now, Gordon moved into third in the standings, but is 27 points behind with 3 races remaining. All right, it's getting tight. All right, and the LPGA Tour is waiving its age requirement to let 16-year-old Lydia Ko become a member. How about that? Now, Ko was 15 when she became the youngest winner of an LPGA event last year at the Canadian Women's Open. Now, she defended that title this year. Ko will join the tour for the start of the 2014 season. She petitioned the LPGA to waive its requirement that members had to be at least 18. Now, Ko's dream to play on the LPGA Tour, that's her ultimate dream, and said she is hoping to inspire other girls to take up golf. How about that? Such an inspirational story, and I'm glad the LPGA is allowing her to do that. Well, those are your current sports headlines on this October 25th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call right here at Current Sports, just right at the Current Sports Studio. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And today's current sports question of the day is whether or not it's ever, yes, ever okay for an athlete to blow up on his or her teammates. Give us a call right now, 517-355-9527. I'm definitely interested in hearing your thoughts on that. When we come back, we're going to talk Lions and Cowboys and dig into that Dez Bryant discussion. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back at you.
Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, Univision teams up with ABC for a new English language TV network called Fusion, aimed at young Americans.
Fusion is going to be pro-millennial, and part of being pro-millennial is being pro-Hispanic.
We'll speak with the CEO next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Well, of course, as custom here on Current Sports, every single Monday, there's tons to talk about because there is so much weekend action, especially this time of the year when you're in the thick of football season. And how about the Detroit Lions? Again, they pulled off an incredible 31-30 win, and I know most of you out there were probably sitting at home, and if the Lions would have lost, you would have been singing the same old song of same old Lions, but that wasn't the case. That simply was not the case yesterday, as they pulled off a win that many who were at the game and those who watched it will not forget anytime soon. And Calvin Megatron Johnson, this man, I don't know what else to say about this guy. It seems as though every single week he's out there on the gridiron. He is putting on the show. I mean, making catches with two defenders on him, three defenders on him. It doesn't matter if all 11 guys were on him. I mean, he's unbelievable. It seems as though he can just make catches in just impossible situations. Again, he had 329 yards receiving yesterday. 329 yards receiving. And, you know, when you look at it historically, his total only trails the 336 yards that Flipper Anderson had when he was playing with the L.A. Rams back in 1989. And, folks, that game went into overtime. This is a regular season game that did not go into overtime, went to, you know, just in regulation, and Calvin's throwing up 329 yards. Unbelievable stuff. Again, we want to take your calls in the game, and we also more specifically want to get your thoughts on a particular moment in that game where Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant just couldn't keep his cool. On the sidelines, going off on teammates, frustrated, call it passion or call it petty. Everyone has an opinion on this. We just took a call from Mike from Saginaw, who kind of sees, you know, where Dez's frustration is going. Again, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. I'm joined by Matt right now. Matt, first of all, we'll get to Dez in just a sec. I want to get your original thoughts, just your thoughts on that incredible game yesterday.
It was honestly the most fun I've had watching a Lions game in a long
time. In a while,
huh? The Cowboys had a 99% chance to win when we gave them the ball back after that 4th-and-12 incompletion.
Right.
And just to see, you know, all week, I had talked last week about how I hated the 2-minute drill, how they ran it with no sense of urgency.
Right.
Finally, we see they were just saving it. They were saving all the urgency for that last play so Riley Reiff could run 40 yards in 5 seconds and get to the line of scrimmage in time.
Yeah.
Gutsy call by Stafford to go for the dive.
Yeah.
Instead of the spike. Genius, obviously. Nobody saw it coming. You got to catch your breath. I'm still catching my breath from it.
You know what? You're still catching your breath right now because I left my notes, folks. This is typical Monday Al Martin here. I leave my notes in my office, and Matt just sprinted to the 5th floor of the Kmart's building and sprinted down to the 2nd floor. Thanks a lot, Matt, for that.
No problem. I'm not even wearing my Nikes right now.
I know, right?
PR right there.
That was great. Yeah. Good stuff. Thanks a lot, Matt.
No
so catch your breath real quick.
Whew.
I want to go on a little spiel right now. First of all, the Lions, who it all looked to not go in the Lions' way for a second, because if you look at it, they had four turnovers throughout the entire game, and they forced none for the other way. One of the biggest things I want to hit on right now is that if this was the Lions of old, Matt, they wouldn't have won this game. From a mentality standpoint, because when you saw that last touchdown from Dez Bryant, which was an incredible pass from Tony Robo to fit it between those two defenders, and then Dez takes it to the house, I'm sitting there on my couch like, okay, this game's over. There's no way that the Lions are going to come back from this. All of a sudden, you look, they show the camera on Matthew Stafford, And the look that he had on his face was one of, one, anger, frustration, but one that this isn't over yet. And you could see it. You could just see it in his eyes that he wants to go out there. And even though time was winding down, about a minute, you know, a little over a minute left, they get the football, and you're sitting there like, whoa, okay, well, let's see what happens. Then that first play to Chris Durham, that first catch that gives him that huge chunk of yardage, and you're like, wow, incredible throw, incredible catch. You know, Stafford and Durham, they had that chemistry. And you've been seeing kind of that chemistry between him and Durham throughout this entire season. He likes to link up with Durham from time to time, former college roommates. But anyway, after that, then you start to see an incredible throw again to Megatron that, you know, was just right on point, and then it sets him up for the touchdown. And then the moment that defines great players from good players. That moment when Matthew Stafford, time is running, the clock is running down. It's starting to get to seconds here. And he looks over at his teammates. First of all, I've never seen Matthew Stafford yell like that at his teammates. That's the one thing that I'm like, wow, he's
awesome.
Really going off.
It was
great.
Awesome.
Wasn't it great? Bro, he's going off on his teammates, yelling at them to get their butts to the line of scrimmage so I can spike this thing. He's got the spike, you know. He's doing the motion, and I'm about to spike this ball right now. The Dallas Cowboys see it. The Lions, his own teammates see it. They're like, okay, we're about to spike the ball, you know, and try to go for a touchdown on the next play. Matthew Stafford, that was genius. It was a heads-up leadership type of move that separates good players from great players. And, you know, the ball is hiked. Everyone is thinking, even those watching, thinking it's going to be a spike. And he leaps over, crosses the plane, and goes nuts.
Yeah.
That was that's probably my favorite moment of the season so far.
Easily. And, you know, things can change in the next couple of weeks, depending on how they perform. But at the very least, that seems like this is my franchise, I'm going to take the reins kind of decision. The drive itself, and you were saying, you know, after Dallas took the late, 10-point lead, or they had that touchdown to Dez,
yeah,
you see Stafford on the sidelines looking angry but focused.
Right, like he was frustrated, but
and
focused.
That goes to the discussion about Dez Bryant.
Right, it
same
does.
Thing should be, you know, he should be doing the same thing. The game wasn't over. Yeah, it's just 12 seconds, but at the same time,
right,
you know, you still got a chance to win the ball game. If your head's in the right place, maybe you go out and make a play. It's not like anybody could really stop him all day anyway.
Yeah,
but instead he's, you know, almost drawn fisticuffs with Jason Witten, who doesn't seem like a guy I would want to fight.
Right, exactly, yeah.
I mean, it's
that's
just
the first,
like...
Yeah, that's the second guy he went to after he went to Tony.
You loved all the body language from the Lions, even after the terrible turnovers, because all through the game it was like, wow, you know, the star players for this team are going to cost them the game. Reggie Bush's fumble was... unforgivable.
Right. It was just like
what is he doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Not
holding
even...
the ball way out here.
Yeah, that was just inexcusable.
Calvin's fumble, understandable. Guy got his head on the ball. Stafford's first interception, you know, tip pass, it happens. The second one to Sean Lee was bad. You just didn't see him.
But
you still have to give him kudos on running him down.
Right.
Because if he doesn't kind of cut him off there, then, you know, we don't tackle him before he scores. It's an easy pick six, and that changes the game even more. But
right.
I just love how they hung tough, and like you said, this is a game they would have lost 100 times out of 100.
Oh yeah, without
in
if
the
this
past.
Has been in the past. Oh,
a typical
Lions,
Lions loss where they are absolutely unstoppable offensively. They're active 600 yards of offense.
Right.
Without the four turnovers, they win this thing going away. Just a blowout victory.
Complete blowout. Right. Exactly. Totally agree
but
with you.
But instead, they make mistakes. They keep striving. They persevere. And they come through with probably the biggest win in the last 5 years, I'd say.
Yeah, without a
huge.
Doubt. It was a game where you look at, and this is something, just one of those games you won't forget for quite some time. And, you know, you look at the Cowboys, and, you know, I called it, you know, before the show. You guys know, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Lions fan as well because I'm born and raised in the D. I call this my catch-22 game every year because I just sit there. Normally, if you watch a game with me, I'm going crazy rooting for the Lions or rooting for the Cowboys, whatever team. This game... and I was sitting there with my grandma. I went home to Detroit this weekend. I'm sitting there with my grandma. My grandma watched the entire game. She was into it, too. That's another story.
How could
in
you not be?
I know, right? Exactly. My grandma is into it. But anyway, I'm sitting there, and I just had no emotion the entire game. Even when the crazy game was, I just
didn't
bite my tongue.
You get swept away on that last drive?
I you know what? In my mind was going crazy. But my body was just sitting there like, wow.
That,
you know,
just Stafford was so on the money that whole drive.
He was.
I mean.
Yeah, he was.
That throw to Durham.
Right.
Disgusting.
Yeah,
40 yards on a rope across the field, like, you know, diagonally across the field, and just right in stride.
Yeah.
Durham barely has to look for the ball. It's already in his hands. I mean, it was perfect.
It
and
was
then the next one to Calvin is just as good.
Yeah, I mean, the one to Calvin was so good, too, I mean, because he had a short window to fit it in. I mean, he had to judge Calvin's speed. It's a tough window to throw into, and he got it to him. And it was great. That whole final quarter for the Lions was really nice, and it really kind of, I think, defines Matthew Stafford's toughness if you look at it, you know. And I think overall, for the Lions, if I got to harp on anything, their secondary just has to get better. It's been a problem this whole season, I think, for them. A lot of holes here and there. And, you know, with the whole – and one play to really define the secondary – was it? Remember the play, Romo finds Terrence Williams, and the stiff arm just looked like a little baby was on him. Just get off me.
Swatted him away.
Just swatted him away
the
for
rookie,
an easy
Terrence
touchdown.
Williams.
Right, just bye-bye. You know, Chris Houston hasn't been great. Mathis, we're seeing Mathis has been okay from time to time, but that secondary, just those corners got to get better.
They do, but honestly, you know? I thought they played really well yesterday.
You did. I don't know, man. Not good enough.
If your offense is handing the ball over four times – and
that
you keep
help.
It within 3 points for a majority of the game, I think at the end they just got gassed. You're not going to contain Dez Bryant and Terrence Williams and Jason Witten and Tony Romo for four quarters if you're constantly on the field.
Yeah, but at the same token, Matt, I mean, this
they
got to
make tackles.
You
got to
make
it.
Tackles. And you got to make plays. And they have no playmakers in that secondary at all. And it makes it easy for the opponent to just pick and choose down
the
field.
See, I think Delmas was trying to make a play. And I think Delmas does make plays.
He just doesn't have the talent to.
Well, I think he's got the talent to, but Dez Bryant is a heck of a football player.
Yeah.
Like, not many guys are going to withstand that, keep their balance, stay in balance, and then run for 50 yards in a score.
And you know what was so impressive? And we're going to talk about Dez in just a sec after this call. We have Jack on line one. How you doing, Jack?
Good morning or good afternoon, guys.
Yes.
you know, I couldn't help but call on that. You're talking about that marvelous play. All the plays that Calvin Johnson made, and then, of course, the Stafford play. And I just wanted to go back a little bit. I'm probably older than you two guys combined in age, but way back when, I can't even remember when it was. I'm thinking like around 1960.
Right, right.
I'm sitting with about 102 or 3 degree temperature watching a Lions football game, and it was the old Baltimore Colts, and Lenny Dawson, Detroit had that game wrapped up, and Lenny Dawson jumped in the air for Baltimore, caught a pass, and put Baltimore ahead, and game over, more or less, just a few seconds for kickoff.
Right.
And so they kick it off, Detroit gets the ball and runs it immediately out of bounds at about the 20-yard line. Coaches for Detroit had left. There was like 3 seconds to go, and I think it was Bobby Lane.
Uh-huh.
Hits Gene Gibbons over the middle on a little dink pass, and the guy goes 80 yards for the score. They had to bring the coaches back out of the locker room.
The coaches left the game? The coaches of all people.
They had walked into the locker room, yeah.
Wow.
And, I mean, that 104 temperature went away real quick, and never forgot it. There was just a little bit of that going on yesterday.
Right.
You know, when I listened to the national news all talking about, oh, poor Dallas, and, oh, they had that game wrapped up.
Yeah, yeah.
How could they let it get away? And I'm thinking, hey, us Lions fans know all about it.
Exactly. You know, it's so true, Jack, because I was the same way. You know, coming into work today, and I'm listening to national radio and reading all the papers. The storyline today is more about what the Cowboys did wrong more than what the Lions did right.
Absolutely. They're the national team.
Right. Exactly. America's team.
We're just those other guys, and we messed up what should have been theirs.
Exactly. Hey, thanks a lot, Jack, for the call. Well, you know, before I let you go, really quick, because you've seen many Lions games, Jack, where did that one rank in your memory as far as where you put that one up there, as far as regular season games?
Well, are you talking about the game yesterday?
Yeah, the game yesterday.
Oh,
it's got to be up there.
That's definitely top five. Definitely top five. I had given up on that game myself. I had gone back out to do some chores, just stopped back in for a moment to check on something else. And I thought, well, how can the game still be on? That's over with. And then I had the pleasure of seeing him, Calvin Johnson's catch, and I saw Stafford go in the end zone. That was so sweet. But, you know, the one other thing, those of us that have been around, we knew 12 seconds was still on the clock.
Right, exactly. I totally agree with you.
And it just had the perfect makings for yet another heartbreak.
Right. And they held it. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Jack. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, that game, it was unbelievable. But, it's huge now because it's upsetting because Jack hits on a great point. Because when you look at the national media, the Cowboys being America's team, I know, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm not going to sit here and beat around the bush. The national media is treating this game more so of what the Cowboys did wrong. I mean, they blew it. We've seen this before. Tony Romo and company, they can't get it done. And they're not talking about the Lions. If they talk about the Lions, they're talking about more so about Calvin Johnson other than the Lions' big comeback.
I mean, rightfully so.
It's the national media, you know?
And Calvin was insane.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had more yards receiving than they had total yards as a team.
Exactly, yeah.
That is ridiculous.
He is. And you know what, Matt, I'll go on record saying this. I mean, I was telling Aaron before the show. Now, I've got a chance, you know, I'm 23 years old. I had a chance to see Jerry Rice, who was considered the GOAT, the greatest of all time when it comes to wide receiver. And some people consider him to be the greatest football player of all time, you know. You can make a case for that. But I didn't get a chance to see Jerry as, you know, it was kind of that, you know, when I was about
you
8
saw
or
the
9.
Tail end.
I saw the tail end of his
right.
prime, you know what I mean? But now getting to see Calvin week in and week out, and especially that he plays for the Lions, you get to see him, you know, every single Sunday on TV. He's the best receiver I've seen.
Ever.
That
Easily.
I've seen with my eyes.
Easily. He's just the most unstoppable.
Yeah, unstoppable.
Because
you can't guard him.
He's just as fast as the fastest receiver. He's bigger than the fastest receiver. He's stronger. He can jump higher. He's, you know, people might talk about what the Cowboys did or didn't do, but what they couldn't do was stop Calvin Johnson.
You could put all 11 guys on Calvin
You can't
Johnson.
Let one guy have 300 yards receiving.
Yep. It's impossible to stop, though.
Especially when all week they're like, well, you know, Brandon Carr, he at least matches. He's going to follow him all around the field.
Right.
Well, he's going to see him in his nightmares for the rest of the year because Mm-mm. he got burned so bad
mm-hmm.
so many times.
Yeah.
And it's just a variety of different things. I mean, obviously, you got to love the jump balls. And you love
right.
that Stafford has faith in him and goes for it.
He, in any moment, it's like Calvin.
Because it's
Calvin
still
is always
a high
open.
Percentage throw.
Right. Calvin Johnson is always open, no matter who is on him, how many guys
yeah,
are on him.
Yeah,
because he
go.
Can out-jump anyone. He's so freakishly, and he's not just a freakish athlete. But you got to respect that not only can he out-jump everybody, and he's just a freak of nature, but he has great hands.
Mm-hmm.
His hands are so good. He can snatch a ball with one arm because he can palm the ball so easily, but his hands are golden. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what I think needs to be talked, you know, also when you talk about his freakishness, him being this tall, strong guy, but his hands, he's a great receiver.
Absolutely.
Craft,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. He works so hard on it, and you can see it. And I mean, his route running is precise. And, you know, I don't know how many times this year he's broken a slant for 70 yards.
Right. Exactly.
Seems like once or twice a week.
Yeah.
I mean,
unbelievable.
If you're worried about him taking a slant 60 yards, I mean,
right. that's something that's saying a lot.
Because all it takes is one safety to take a poor angle, and chances
right.
are good he's not going to take the right angle.
Exactly,
and he's just gone.
I totally agree with you, Matt.
It's insane.
It's insane in the membrane. Again, Calvin Johnson, you're not human. You're not human, brother. You know, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to quickly dive into this Dez Bryant discussion because I have an interesting take on it, and I want to get your opinion as well, Matt. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is going to come right back again. We're taking your calls throughout the entire show on whether or not it's ever okay for an athlete to blow up on his or her teammates. 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back.
On the next Fresh Air, seeking the truth about the John F. Kennedy assassination. Investigative reporter Philip Sheenan says officials in the FBI and the CIA destroyed evidence and lied to the Warren Commission, which investigated the crime. His new book is A Cruel and Shocking Act. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We're talking about the Lions today. Of course, one unbelievable win yesterday, 31-30 over the Dallas Cowboys. And appreciate your calls again. We're taking your calls throughout the entire show on that game and, you know, on the whole Dez Bryant situation. Is it ever okay for a athlete to go off on his or her teammates? We've had some interesting opinions. Mike, thank you from Saginaw calling and weighing in on it. And we're going to dive into it right now. Before we give you our thoughts, I want to read some of our Facebook comments. Those of you who commented on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Mark says, it's never constructive to blow up in public, maybe in the locker room, but not on national TV. Lynn says, it shows poor sportsmanship and makes you look so ignorant. Spencer says, if you lost close games, wouldn't you be upset? Chase goes on to say, he tweeted me, Chase, it depends. A team is a second family. Can't have that in public. Family matters get solved behind closed doors, though. Aaron goes on to say, and it's our last comment that I'll read. Aaron says, it shouldn't happen, but it's the emotion of the game. But with the way Dez Bryant was acting, I was having flashbacks to Titus Young. Jason Witten is the last person I'd yell at. Thanks a lot, Aaron. I totally agree with you. Matt, you said the same thing. So, Matt, first of all, what are your thoughts on it? When you saw Dez going off and, you know, team DeMarcus Ware's holding him back, he's going off on Tony Romo. What was your thoughts, man?
Well, you know, it's tough. It's tough to judge because on the one hand, I think that when he was kind of blown up at Romo, I think that sparked him because he went out and scored a touchdown on the next drive. But the one with Witten, that one's crossing the line for me. What's he doing? What's the point of that?
Why
to
go
just,
off on Jason
to just
Witten,
go right? insane on your teammate with 12 seconds left? You know, what did Jason Witten do to lose you the game? Nothing.
Right.
I understand you're frustrated, but, you know, like you said, this is America's team. You know this is going to happen. It happened with Terrell Owens before. I mean, it's going to happen with you.
Right.
People are going to be upset, you know, if you're being that demonstrative on the sideline. It looks like he's throwing his teammates under the bus. And I don't think Tony Romo played bad at all. His numbers weren't great, but, you know, he didn't have that Romo turnover. He had two fourth-quarter touchdowns.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, he played well. It's just a lack of maturity. And then at the other side, like you said, you know, you look at Stafford when Dallas went ahead. He's angry, but he's not, you know.
It was channeled energy.
Exactly. He's not, you know, going off on Ryan Broyles or something. He's focused on the game. There's still a game to be played. There's still football left. There's 12 seconds left. The way the Lions secondary is playing, I very well could have seen a bomb to Dez Bryant be complete for a game-winning touchdown.
I mean,
it wasn't out of the cards. So why are you throwing in the towel having a temper tantrum when there's still game left to be played?
So you didn't like it?
I didn't like it at all.
Gotcha. We're going to take a call right now. Jody, how you doing, Jody? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I think Dez Bryant, he went off yesterday, but, you know, he's competing. You know, whether he competed and screamed at Tony Romo, whether he screamed at Witten, you know, and he was probably frustrated that he wasn't getting any touches earlier in the game. But I don't think the whole first half, you know, and I'm not a Cowboy fan, you know, having lived in, you know, Michigan, I root for the Lions, and being raised in Ohio, I root for the Browns. But, you know, no touches in the first half. Most of your receivers are kind of prima donna guys anyway.
Right.
You know, if you go back to the, you know, Irvins and, the, you know, Dre and them, those guys, they, you know, they wanted the ball and they wanted to, you know, strut their stuff.
Yeah, we saw Irvin do that a lot. I wanted to bring up Michael Irvin because Michael Irvin used to go off a lot on the sideline.
Yeah, you know, they want the ball because they want to win. You know, I have no – especially if Jason Garrett, the head coach, isn't a screaming, yelling kind of guy, somebody has to be the dog on the team. Mm-hmm. You can't have a whole bunch of choir boys and accept to go anywhere but choir practice.
I like that. I'm going to steal that from you later on, all right?
Okay, you know, I'm all right. Just quote me, all right?
I got you. I give you credit, you know, Jody. All right.
Yeah, there you give me a little credit. Yeah. But, you know, that's all that is. You know, you have to have some guys on your team that take the coaching out of the coach's hands.
Right.
You know, because if you look at Izzo's most successful team, like, he'll always tell you that my team did so much that putting guys in place and screaming at guys to do what they're supposed to do. Irvin did the same way. You know, when you get on winning teams, you're going to have guys who are going to take the lead. Not saying that they were boisterous and hollering at the room, you know, teammates for problems, you know, but I mean, if he wasn't getting the touches and he was, you know, and you saw guys, you know, maybe the secondary, maybe they've been telling the coach the secondary was toast.
Right.
You know,
right.
Maybe they've been telling him, Coach, man, we got some guys back here that can't play.
Yeah.
And maybe it finally came to fruition. And, you know, we talked, and you talked about the Lions having a poor secondary. How would you like to be the Cowboys yesterday?
Yeah, they're not much better, right?
No, 1 minute left and they got to go 80 yards and they do it in about 3 plays?
Yep.
Come on.
Easy.
You know. That's bad playground, bad football. That's, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, really?
Yes.
It's the playground you're screaming about somebody scoring 80 yards in a minute.
Very, so, very true, Jody.
Yeah, but this is the more important. This is Michigan week. So I know we'll talk to Lions today, but it's Michigan week.
You know it. MSU.
One of the two or three times this year that I get excited still, you know. Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, everybody else. I'm from the old school where we were supposed to beat them.
I like it, Jody. I dig it.
Okay, I mean, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, those were the three dogs, and sometimes we had Southern Cal on our schedule.
Right.
You know, so we, you know, UCLA, so we had that. But those, the other seven or eight teams, you know, we were supposed to take care of them.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, those are gimmies.
Yeah, they should be. They're not anymore, but, you know, they should be. All right, so, hey, congratulations to the Lions. They it's not the same old Lions. Oh, last thing.
Yeah.
This is picking, I know, but from being old school, 19 seconds left on the clock, they throw the ball down to the one. Why does he have to scream to his linemen to run downfield? They're in the two-minute offense.
Be...
They didn't know to get you, but plus one cat came so late, you know, he almost let the clock run out.
Because he thought they scored.
That left tackle, he got there just in time. I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, is that? I think Matt said, you said the lineman thought they scored?
Yeah, Reef was already celebrating at the 40, thinking they had scored a touchdown, and that's why Stafford's just chewing him out, getting him to the line.
Yeah.
If that's the case, you run down there and congratulate Calvin Johnson.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, get your butt down there either way, right?
You're going to stand there and do this freak dance at the 50 and you at the 1 yard line? No. Run down there and congratulate your boy.
Right, right.
You know, so,
oh, they need you coaching, Jody. Oh, man.
Maybe that's just the way it used to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Appreciate it, Jody. All right. I believe we have another caller, John, on line 3. How you doing, John?
Hey, man, I'm happy because the Hull Rams made the playoffs, man. I wasn't so sure. It's getting a little dicey there, being from Hull.
Yes, they made it.
Congratulate the Rams, man.
Yeah, they'll be playing Flint, Carmen, Ainsworth this Friday, I believe.
Upset special of the week, man.
There you go. Al Slammer, baby.
Al Slammer's good people, man. Very
he
good.
Is. He is.
Hey, incredible Lion finish, like your last caller said, man. I would have thought that they were dead to rights, man. You've seen the Lions lose so many games like that over the years, man. So it's finally good to see a different character in this team. I think this is a different breed of Lions, in my opinion.
Definitely. And so, that win was definitely up there. What would you rank that win on your all-time list, John?
Oh, all-time, I'd say top five for sure.
Top five.
I don't want to say number one, but I think that playoff win against Dallas is still number one in my mind, at least of recent note.
Right, gotcha. And did you see, because today our question of the day, John, is we're talking about Dez Bryant's rant. What did you think of Dez Bryant's rant on the sideline? Did you see it?
Yeah, he's a baby, man. That guy needs to... He needs to grow up, man. That's ridiculous.
So you didn't like it?
To put your teammates like that, too, man. I mean, to blame your teammates when he didn't do nothing in the game himself.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's, like, getting his teammates' faces and getting mad at the defense. But he needs to show up a little more. I mean, for him to compare himself to Calvin Johnson, that is a complete joke.
Yeah,
Calvin Johnson is head and shoulders above him.
Yeah, he must have been sipping something that day. I don't know. Well, thank you, John. I totally agree with you on the Calvin Johnson tip. Hey, thanks a lot, John, for your
thanks
call. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I want to kind of dive into it now, guys. Alex now joins us, and I want to talk about this whole Dez Bryant rant. Like I said in the beginning of the show, when I first saw it, I'm sitting there at home and I'm thinking to myself, "Whoa, that's not cool."
You're thinking
he's going off.
Those are my boys. Those are my Cowboys.
No, stop. No,
that's
no.
That's what you're thinking.
Alex, when I told you when the Cowboys and Lions play, I'm catch 22 game, baby. I just sit back and just watch the game. But I'm going back. Let me get this off my chest. When I saw Dez go off on Tony and then turn and go off on Jason and being held back by DeMarcus, and I'm sitting there like, my initial reaction is like, what in the world is up with this dude? You know what I mean? Why are you going off? I mean, go out there and just perform. Play the game. And then I started to think back, you know, to just the nature of where the Cowboys are right now. The Cowboys, if you look at it, the Cowboys are at these past few years have notoriously been known to give up games as the clock winds down. Just giving up, you know, Tony with his interceptions. He had one against, of course, you know, we talked about that on here when he played the Broncos. Just in last-minute situations. This is how the Lions used to be. They didn't close out games. And it's got to get frustrating at some point. And Dez, you know, Dez was frustrated, it seemed like, throughout that entire game because he didn't feel as though the ball was getting his way. If you look, it started with that slant route. When Tony, you know, he threw it behind Dez. After that drive ended, Dez wasn't pleased. He went over to the sidelines, and that's when he starts going off on Tony Romo. I kind of see where he's coming from the aspect of a competitor. He's out there trying to win. He's out, you know, and some of our callers have echoed these statements that I'm seeing right now. He's out there trying to win. When you get in the your emotions are going through the roof. When you're playing a big game like this, you got a chance to win three straight, possibly solidify that division title. The division is terrible that the Cowboys are in right now, but you can solidify it possibly with this win, three straight, and the wheels start coming off. It's got to be frustrating for Dez. And you know, looking at, you know, when I used to play basketball, I'm going to be honest, guys. I was that Dez Bryant. I was that guy. When I played high school basketball, sometimes even in pickup sometimes, like, you know, the nice guy Al Martin kind of goes out the window. And I tell you this story. I played intramural basketball my freshman year of college. It was me. You know my roommate, Johnny, Alex. It was me, my roommate, Johnny, and my roommate, Horacio. So get this, Matt. So we're out there playing. We get to the semifinals, right? We're rolling. Then all of a sudden we get to the semis. And we lose to a team that was bigger, stronger, probably more talented than us, to be honest with you. I hated losing so much. I never forget. The game ended. I go off on Johnny and Horacio saying, what in the world? We should have played better than that. You guys weren't setting any screens. I couldn't get my shot. I go completely off. I did not talk to my college roommates for over a week. I am not lying, guys.
Oh, boy.
Over a week. That's how competitive I was. And I'm still so competitive. I mean, I told you guys, I'm very competitive. I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad now. But it's like, you know, I say that to make this point. I mean, when you're in the heat of the battle, you sometimes lose your cool. And, you know, Dez said afterwards that his passion is always positive. And Tony said afterwards, there's a quote from Tony Romo today that said he wasn't attacking him. He was just, it was all in a positive manner. And I kind of see where Dez is coming from. It just so happened to be that the cameras were rolling on him on the sidelines because of the antics. I don't know. So that I can kind of see where Dez is coming from, and I think people are kind of blowing it out of proportion.
Yeah. Have we ever seen any other case like this? Of course.
Yeah.
Jay Johnson argued all the time. So did Randy Moss.
Terrell Owens. I mean, there's so many receivers.
I have no problem with this. Because it's sparking
so
the competition.
So when you saw it, you didn't say?
Yeah, I mean,
when I first saw it, I'm like, whoa.
It wasn't the most positive thing for the team, but I liked it. I was standing outside on the lawn, listening to it on the radio, and I liked it. I liked the fact that he was fired up for the competitive drive, like you said. If he wasn't, then I mean, what's going to happen to the team? They're just going to go week by week, and they're going to fall apart at the end like they did against the Lions?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I
right.
Mean,
so you liked the.
I liked it. I liked the rant.
I did too. Because I can kind of see where he's coming from. But initially, I'm sitting there like, whoa.
Do you guys think that's good for the team, though?
No.
You don't think
sometimes
that,
it is.
You don't think that the sideshow that this is going to create. he needs to know this is going
you know
to follow. This is going to be the narrative of the team.
When
rightly or wrongly, when you're playing for America's team and you do something like that, it's not like he had to be like, he looked like a bull that had just. You know, the steam coming out of its ears. Like, he looked like a crazy person on the sidelines. You can be angry and demand the best of your teammates. You don't have to look like you're on the warpath going around, like, just...
Because that's what it looked like.
Just the crazy eyes the entire time. He was so angry at everyone.
Right.
Just, I mean, look inward. Keep playing. The game's not over.
Right.
What's he doing?
Going back to your question, I mean, if it's good for a team, I've seen some cases where... You know, sometimes a teammate will lie into his team saying, hey, what the heck? And it can turn out positive.
I mean, Derek Nix and Keith Appling last year throwing towels
fist
at one
fights.
Another.
You remember the fist fight at the hotel?
Fist fight in the hotel. But that didn't happen on the sideline of a nationally televised game.
So you think it depends on where it happens?
I kind of do, yeah. If you're in the locker room, yeah, go ahead. Rip into somebody.
But you don't like seeing
it doesn't need to happen in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
In the biggest game of the season.
I can definitely understand that.
You know, it's just like there's a time and a place for it, and with 12 seconds on the clock and a chance to still win the game because you're playing the Lions and the game's never over.
That's secondary.
That's not the time.
Yeah, and maybe, I can definitely see that.
Maybe we're spoiled because we see Calvin, and Calvin's just a different breed.
Right, and it all depends on the person. It depends on the team personnel because because every team is different. And to Izzo, I mean, he had a great quote from Media Day to say that every team is different. You know what I mean? Every team goes about, you motivate a team in different ways. Sometimes a teammate going off can kind of rally the troops and say, hey, game time, and kind of make them lock in. Sometimes going off with a team, depending on who's on that team, can make them shut down and say, whoa, who do you think you are talking to me like that?
Right.
You know what I mean? So it all depends on the team personnel. It depends on what you say as well, the words you use. Again, I'm just going off the reports that came out, and Romo said it was positive. He wasn't attacking anyone. And he goes on to say, my passion is always positive. It all depends on the people on the team. It depends on the words you use and how you do it. And I think, going back to Calvin, I mean, Calvin is a guy, even when, going back to those dog years, because it wasn't always sunshine and rainbows when Calvin was here. Remember when Matthew Stafford was going through his whole injury stint when he first got here in Detroit? And it makes me wonder all the time, what if Matthew was healthy when he first got here to Detroit? I mean, who knows where Calvin Johnson's numbers, where they would be right now. But anyway, I go on to say that because Calvin Johnson went through a lot of, he went through a few dog years with Detroit where he wasn't getting the ball as much. His numbers weren't great. The team was down in the dumps. They were missing the playoffs. They didn't look good. But you didn't see him whining on the sidelines going off on his teammates. He kind of just rolled it out and handled it with a lot of class and said, all right, he took it game by game, But Calvin is such a different breed of player and such a different breed of man. We know Calvin is just such a classy guy. And it all depends on the person. Dez is he's a pit bull. You know what I mean? At the end of the day.
He's a bit of a prima donna.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is the classic wide receiver, big ego.
Right.
Bigger than the team.
Yeah, he's like the guy. He's like the TO.
He's a great player.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I would want him as my teammate, though.
And if you look at that catch early in the game, I mean, that catch was sick.
It was disgusting.
Thrown just behind
the
him.
David Tyree on his head. It was crazy.
It was crazy. And then both of the defenders fall on the ground and make it even more sick. I mean, oh,
and he
gosh.
Keeps his feet.
Right, and he keeps his
it's
feet.
It's like, oh, the things the guy can do are incredible, but
yeah. You didn't
just,
like
just
it in
just tweak the attitude
form.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
With Tony Romo's fourth quarter blunder history, even though he has the highest QBR in the fourth quarter of anybody,
right.
Is that a guy you want to go off on
right,
in the waning
exactly.
moments of a game? Do you really want to put more pressure on Tony Romo?
Right. Exactly. I see exactly where you're coming from, Matt. For me, I think we're blowing up a little bit too much, but I can see both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, and thank you for all the calls today. Wow, time flies. 3 minutes left in the show. Just final thoughts. Anything we missed, guys? Anything you want to say? I think it's great for the Lions heading into bye week. And they can kind of just chill on a win now and get their mind right for the second half of the season.
All I'm going to say is I just followed Des Bryant on Twitter today.
Did he tweet anything?
No, but I'm now going to be entertained by all his tweets.
You know what's cool, man? Nate Burleson followed me on Twitter the other day, and I thought I was tripping when I looked at my phone like, oh, he didn't. I looked at my phone again like, oh, my gosh, Nate Burleson just followed me. So shout out to Nate.
Oh, yeah, quick thing about that.
Yeah.
I get that he gets free DiGiorno, but he's still got to drive home from the grocery store with the DiGiorno. How did they solve any of the problems there? Just because he's not going to be trying to eat it while driving, but they're still going to be there.
Well, with DiGiorno,
Nate,
is that like,
Nate,
is that
you're not
frozen?
Out of the woods. Yeah, it's frozen.
So, I mean, I think the big deal about that one was, I mean, because that's in the
box frozen. Because he's not going to try and eat it while driving.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what
but,
it is.
But... It's not like you completely took the problem away. Maybe if you, delivered them to his house in, a big DiGiorno truck, then you could be like, yeah, he's totally safe. Don't worry, guys.
He's
we
good.
Got this.
Right, we got this. Yeah, he needs a catering
not
service.
Not out of the woods yet, Nate.
Right. Exactly. All right, well, great show, guys. I guess we'll get to everything else tomorrow. I mean, I wanted to kind of list, high school playoffs, last week, final week of the regular season. I can't believe high school football is just about done. The playoffs are starting now this week. We'll get to that tomorrow. We'll talk MSU football, of course. Yes, it's Michigan week. Rivalry week is here, alive and well in East Lansing. So we'll get to that tomorrow and take your calls throughout the entire show on that. We'll dive into it tomorrow, guys. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky. Engineer Aaron Young. Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in and calling in. Again, be a part of Current Sports TV as I sit down with the Vice President and Head Coach of the Lansing Cowboys Youth Football League this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Be there. Sign up for free at WKAR.org. Again, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic start to your week, and be easy, people.